Well, hello everyone. I am Shikha Singh from South Dakota State University. I'm doing my master's, and the talk I'm going to talk about today is response of winter manure application to surface water quantity and quality from small watersheds. I'd like to acknowledge all my co-authors and my committee members for helping me out to understand about this project. Well, the outline of my talk would start with the introduction, then I'll be discussing about the methods, I'll discuss the results, and then wrap up with conclusions and acknowledgements. Spreading manure on frozen soil has both the aspects. It has negative as well as positive. The advantages of spreading manure on frozen soil is that less of ground compaction occurs when we drive heavy machinery on the soil, and this requires less of manure storage space during the winter seasons and reduce the risk of concentrated spills into the streams. The disadvantages are manure can be washed off when the snow melt would occur, leading to potential water quality threats. Also, manure incorporation is not possible when applied to frozen soil, due to which it loses its nutrient content, because ammonia is a volatile nutrient, and if we don't incorporate it shortly after application, it volatilizes. So we apply manure to the frozen soil in the late February or early March. Normally we use a pull type spreader to spread the manure. Normally we use the solid manure. We cannot use it's not recommended to use liquid manure according to the South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources. So the rationale behind my study is that in the state of South Dakota, the winters are extremes and the soil remains frozen for about 3 to 4 months, and it becomes difficult during that time to manage the agricultural wastes. And as the soil is frozen, spreading manure on top of it leads to potential water quality threats. Thus, we need to formulate the best management practices for managing the agricultural waste during these extreme winter conditions. The objective of my study is to study the response on runoff quantity, infiltration rate, and water quality to manure application. The study site is Eagan Township, Moody County, South Dakota. The soil is moody silty clay loam, and the area of my south watershed is roughly 4 hectares, while the north and the east are roughly the same area, which is about 2.7 hectares. The crop rotation is corn and soybean. These are my study watersheds. So I'll introduce the study watersheds one by one. This is the south watershed, the green color, and as you see the dark green color, that is the area, 50% of that watershed is treated with solid manure, and this is the outlet of the south watershed. The next blue one is the north watershed, and the dark blue color near the outlet is the area that is 50% of this north watershed is treated with solid manure, and it's near the outlet. It's downslope. This is the third watershed, and this is the east watershed. This is the outlet of this watershed, and this is the control watershed. We don't have any manure treatment in this watershed, and we just use inorganic fertilizers to meet the crop demands. And basically the idea behind this arrangement is that we are using a paired watershed design in which the south and the north are the treatment watersheds while the east is the control. Methods. Solid manure was spread during winter months in the late February or early March. As and when precipitation occurs, the water from the watersheds move towards the outlet, carrying the nutrients and the sediment along with it. Water automatic samplers are installed at the outlet of each watershed that trigger water sample collection at every half inch of runoff. So these are the manure application rates for all the 4 years. So we calculated these rates. These rates were calculated based on the nutrient content of the soil, nutrient content of the manure, and the crop to be grown that season. So these are the pictures of runoff occurring during the spring and the manure applied to the field. One more challenge that was faced during the spring was that it was difficult to monitor runoff during the spring because water thawed during the day and froze during the night. And just to monitor that thing, this Moultrie GameSpy camera was installed at the outlet, which collected pictures every 5 minutes during the day, and during the night they collected picture when there was a motion was sensed in the flume. So we could just judge that when the runoff and how much runoff was going on over there. So this is the setup at the outlet of each watershed. So this is the edge flume through which the water passes. This is the sensor which measures the depth of water in the flume. This is the automatic water sampler which contains 24 bottles which can collect the blue pipe, as you can see. Can you all see the blue pipe that runs into the flume? That pipe, when there is half inch of runoff, it sucks water and then it fills the bottle inside. This is the Stevenson's S-type recorder which records the hydrograph of every storm event. These are the rain gauge, and the solar panel provides energy to the automatic sampler. So this sampler contains 24 bottles, and after 24 bottles the sampler automatically shuts down and we get a signal to the computer in the office, and then we go back to the field and then we collect the samples and we recalibrate it, and then it starts working again. So the study parameters that we are doing is water quantity, we are doing flow rate, and for the water quality we are doing nitrate nitrogen, ammonia nitrogen, total phosphorus, total diazoxide nitrogen, total dissolved phosphorus and total suspended solids. I have data for all of these, but due to the time constraint I'll be discussing only the nitrate nitrogen and total phosphorus. So the nitrate nitrogen was analyzed using ion chromatography with chemical suppression of alluin conductivity, while total phosphorus was analyzed using ascorbic acid method. So we move on to the results. So we measured the flow rate, and we expected the north to have the least flow rate because the manure was spread near the outlet, and as the water moved it allowed more of infiltration, and the south was having more because the area was roughly double of the north, and the east had no treatment, so it was expected to be higher than the north one. Regarding the water quality results, the nitrate nitrogen, we expected the south to have the least because the manure treatment was away from the outlet, while in the north and the east had inorganic fertilizers, so it had to have some nitrates, while the north had manure treatment near the outlet, so as the water moved it carried the nutrients along with it to the outlet. During the year 2012 also the run was consistent except for an exception, like on the 6th of March. During 2013 as well, visually we can see that the trend was roughly consistent. The north was always higher than the south one. For 2014, we just had one runoff event, and the data was only for north and the south, and we did not have data for the east watershed because the sample was not collected over there, and thus I'm not showing the data because we cannot generalize for that year as we had just one runoff event. For the total phosphorus as well, the trend was consistent as we expected the south to be less than the north. For 2012 as well, the trend was similar to what we expected. The south was having the least of phosphorus content in the water. For 2013 also, the south was less than the north. For the infiltration rate, so we conducted infiltration this year and we saw that the manure treated part was having more of infiltration than the untreated part. So the north downslope was having manure treatment and the north upslope was not having any manure treatment. So visually we can see that north downslope was having a higher infiltration rate. For the south watershed, the upslope was having the manure treatment, so it had the higher infiltration rate than the downslope. For east watershed, they were roughly the same because we did not have any treatment and we just had like inorganic fertilizers. So the conclusions that we draw from this study are: the north watershed had manure treatment in lower half of the watershed, which led to more infiltration capacity of the soil and reduction in surface runoff, contrary to the south watershed which had manure treatment away from the outlet, and east watershed which had no treatment at all. The nitrate nitrogen and total phosphorus loss from the south watershed was found to be the least, as the manure treatment was far away from the outlet, were highest in the north watershed and east watershed, And results from this study conclude that landscape positions of manure treatment may play a vital role in determining runoff and nutrient loss in a watershed. So future research, this is an ongoing project and the data will be collected for the coming years also, and then we'll be able to reach a final conclusion after analyzing all the year's data. So I'd like to acknowledge the South Dakota Water Research Institute's USGS 104B, Agricultural Experiment Station of South Dakota State University, EPA Section 319 via South Dakota Department of Environmental and Natural Resources, South Dakota Cattlemen's Association, South Dakota Farm Bureau, and East Dakota Water Development District. Thank you.
So we'll plenty of time for questions. So, yeah, Barbara.
Did you flow weight your data, or did you convert your concentration based on flows into a day?
No, actually, we just found the flow. We just measured the flow rate separately. And the automatic water samplers that collected the water samples, we just analyzed those.
Yeah, but usually when you take your data that you analyze, you then convert it based on flow for a daily average. Because it'll matter how much flow you
have. Yeah, actually, during these, except for 2014, for the past 4 years, for each runoff event, we just collected like one or two samples. But for this year, we collected like, even for one runoff event, we collected like 24 samples. So for this year, I think we need to convert it like that, what you're saying. So for the previous years, we didn't need to do that.
I'm really interested in your infiltration rate results, and I'm curious a bit more about your method. Did you measure those in the field?
Yes. I did like double ring method. I use a double ring method over there, and then I use that. Then I measured the infiltration. I used like four applications at each spot. And then I got the like representative value for that.
Following that, the conclusion on the infiltration was that surface applying solid manure increased infiltration.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose that is?
Because manure it leads to more of aggregates, right? It forms more aggregates, which increases the pores, right? And as the pores increase, more of water infiltrates into the soil. Yes.
So the surface of blood manure is increasing in that soil aggregation.
I guess, yeah.
Do you just want to follow up?
Yeah, I'm curious. Did you measure the soil temperature?
No.
It could be too, because a solid manure application can insulate soil. So if there's a higher soil temperature, less of the soil water would turn to ice and potentially allow for a greater infiltration rate.
So did you measure infiltration during the winter or?
No, I did like just after the spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when everything is thawed out.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
There's a question over here.
Just a clarification, perhaps that field had manure application for 4 years, and so the manure was incorporated every year. So over time, you're building organic matter, and that's likely what helps. And also it was flow with the concentrations were flowing.
Just one question, and it's looked in the slides, I need to see it. The field with the manure application farther away from the oil plant.
You want to see the figure?
Yeah.
You want to see, okay.
It looked like it was very close to the amount of runoff the table of runoff. It looked like it was very close to the nutrient level coming off the non-manure level. Is that?
Okay.
That's correct,
or did I just miss something?
This one? No, it's flow rate. That one. Flow. Going back, just after flow rate.
Do you say this one?
Yeah, a couple of times what was coming off from manure fields on several of these slides, the nitrogen or the phosphorus, the manure applied farther from the outlet field.
Yes.
That's similar, almost not significant, this one not so much, that's the non-manure field.
Yes.
Yeah, one more.
Well, just to follow up on that, so I think on the control with no manure, there seems to be fairly high nutrient runoff compared to the manure. So the person behind me was stating, I think there was a history of manure application even on the non-manure field, so that would maybe be the reason why there's even fairly high nutrient runoff from the non-manure watershed?
I just know about the 4 years. I don't know before that. Yeah, from the past 4 years, there was no manure application in the control.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why there's, I think there's some pretty high nutrient runoff off the control. I'm just wondering why.
Maybe because of the inorganic fertilizers? Like.
They weren't broadcast, so
yes, they were broadcast, right?
Yeah, just a comment on that. It doesn't have a. It's a very good point with what's going on in that east watershed, and it's not entirely clear that it does not have a history of manure application prior to this project.
Okay, let's turn it up there. Then we'll thank Chika again.
Thank you.